Well, we're joined by Dr. Ismail Zayed, who was in Montreal last October presenting on the ethnic cleansing that is taking place in occupied Palestine. He himself was born and grew up in Bet Nuba, Palestine, and went to school in Jerusalem. He received his medical education at the University of London and immigrated to Canada in 1972. He is the author of two books, one called Palestine, A Stolen Heritage, and the other called Zionism, The Myth and Reality. He has also published articles on the topic of Canada Park, and that includes issues of Canadian complicity in war crimes in occupied Palestine. So I'd like to welcome you, Professor Ismail Zayed, to the program.
Thank you.
We've invited you to talk about this roadmap for peace. It's quite a buzzword in the mainstream media. There's much discussion of it and much focus on it now that we've moved our attention from the war in Iraq and the ongoing occupation now to peace in the Middle East rather than war in the Middle East. So I wonder if you can put things in perspective for us of what the mainstream media is talking about. Give us your thoughts on the roadmap for peace. Tell us what's on the table.
Well, the roadmap that's being put forward by the United States and European and United Nations and Russia, European countries and United States and Russia, is to me is another process programmed primarily by the United States of procrastination about the illegal occupation that's taking place in the Palestinian territory. The fundamental issue in this process appears to be a process of dilly-dallying and procrastination going on for 2-3 years and so on, and it's very similar to repeated proposals like the Tenet Plan and the Marshall Plan by the United States and previously the Oslo Plan. These processes indicate a variety of conditions being imposed on the Palestinians, which deliberately are being subjected to provocation by Israel so that the complete peace that the Palestinians are required to produce can never be attained, because literally every time there is peace or willingness to express peace on the part of the Palestinians, the Israelis proceed to commit acts of assassination, destruction of people's homes, and so on and so on, literally to provoke the Palestinians to do some acts of violence, and thus give an excuse for Sharon, who has no intention of withdrawing from these occupied territories, giving him an excuse for saying we need complete peace on the part of the Palestinians. My argument is fundamentally to call on the occupier to negotiate with the occupied is an illegitimate process. There is an illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories that has been allowed to stand for 36 years in violation of international law and repeated Security Council resolutions. The essential element is to eliminate and terminate this occupation completely. This is the only way to secure peace for both Israelis and Palestinians, and not to produce this process of negotiations like the Oslo Agreement, where and this one too, leaving the primary issues like the refugees, the settlements, the borders, and Jerusalem as issues to be negotiated. These issues should not be negotiable. These issues are fundamental issues. Israel is occupying these territories illegally. The United Nations and the United States must demand that illegal occupation must be terminated unconditionally. This is my fundamental point.
Well, Professor Zayed, perhaps you can describe the double standard that you assert exists in the world. You bring up the occupation of Iraq, the occupation led by Iraq on Kuwait, and how the world community acted there, and the difference in Palestine.
Yeah, this is the issue that is so fundamentally wrong. Here, we saw in 1990 when Iraq invaded Kuwait and illegally occupied Kuwait, the United States and its allies and the United Nations immediately demanded immediate withdrawal. Nobody said, let's let the Kuwaitis and the Iraqis negotiate and whether to withdraw from 80% or 60% or 90% of the occupied territories. There was a demand that Iraq must withdraw immediately. And when it didn't withdraw immediately, nearly a million troops were sent, and Iraq was expelled out of Kuwait, as well as besides the destruction of Iraq as a society in terms of infrastructure and so on. Nobody said, let there be negotiations. And why should Israel, after occupation of 36 years of both Palestinians and Syrian territory and Lebanese territory for that matter, be told, well, it's all right, you can maintain this occupation, let's have a negotiation, and maybe Sharon says he will remove the outposts, all the settlements that are already occupying approximately 60% of the West Bank are illegal in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention and in violation of Security Council resolutions, which say all settlements, illegal settlements being placed on expropriated Palestinian land are illegal and must be removed. And yet, none of this is indicated. It's all talked about. It's being to be negotiated. Similarly, this is the issue about the double standards. When we've just seen last few months a devastating invasion of Iraq, destroying the country, et cetera, because there was a statement that by the United States and Mr. Blair that Iraq holds weapons of mass destruction. As it turned out, nobody seems to be able to find these, and yet, extraordinarily enough, the state of Israel has both nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons of mass destruction, but nobody mentions that. And yet the very same resolution that demanded of Iraq to eliminate weapons of mass destruction mentioned, this is in 1991, mentioned the Security Council resolution, mentioned that weapons of mass destruction from the entire area of the Middle East must be eliminated. And yet nobody mentions Israel at all. And furthermore, in relation to the double standards, literally Iraq was subjected to 12 years of economic sanctions, bringing about the death of 1.5 million Iraqis, including nearly 500,000 children under the age of 5 as a result of starvation and disease. These sanctions were imposed on Iraq because it was said that it was not in complete compliance with one Security Council resolution. And yet, the State of Israel is in violation and in defiance of scores of Security Council resolutions, and yet nobody mentions that. This is an extraordinary double standard, and I keep calling, why must Israel be allowed to remain above international law? Surely Israel should be, like all other nations, subject to international law.
And for people who are actually at the table speaking on behalf and negotiating on behalf of Palestinian people like Mahmoud Abbas, do you feel that he's in a position to raise these sorts of these issues regarding international law and the negotiations now on the table?
Well, this is what's puzzling me and puzzling many Palestinians, is that this Palestinian leadership don't seem to be aware or dare mention this question of illegal occupation and the need for this to be implemented before we have peace and security for everybody in the area. This is a strange process. And for most Palestinians, the notion that any agreement should not be based on negotiated settlement of these issues should be implemented immediately and unconditionally. This is an illegal occupation. It must be terminated immediately and unconditionally. There should be no need for conditions and negotiations between the occupier and the occupied.
The simple facts that you raise about international law have not been raised in the mainstream media. And I wonder if, Professor Zaid, if you can offer us your thoughts on why the mainstream media is so uncritical in its coverage of this roadmap process.
Well, this is a very troubling situation. You find the media, many of the columnists are either biased or scared to mention any criticism of Israel. This is also a story that has been allowed to continue, that the State of Israel has acquired a unique immunity from criticism. Nobody dares criticize the State of Israel or its leaders. They are called anti-Semitic the moment you criticize. And yet, you can criticize the Queen of England and the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Canada, and that's fine. But if you criticize the policies of the State of Israel or its Prime Minister, then you are liable to be called anti-Semitic. And this is a most serious problem. And some of the columnists, I think, and some of the journalists are scared to do this. I was reading an article by Robert Fisk in an interview with Zed Magazine just yesterday, and in fact where he says exactly the same thing. The journalists who visit the area there can see the problems and can see the crimes that Israel is committing against the Palestinians, but they are scared to mention them, and they tend to have to rely on their editors to put whatever words they want in their mouth. And I mean, this is very serious business. And the same thing with the United States government. A couple of days ago, United States Mr. Bush seems to mildly rebuke Sharon for attempting to assassinate Rantisi in Gaza by sending Apache helicopters to bomb his car. And Mr. Bush vaguely sort of said he shouldn't have done that. And we just hear today on the news that the AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is the major Israeli lobby in the United States, and many American congressmen and senators complaining at Mr. Bush for criticizing Israel or appearing to criticize Israel. And he is backing away and now calling on the Arab leaders to apply pressure and sanctions against the Palestinian militant groups so that they don't commit acts of terrorism against Israel. And this is extraordinary. Whatever the Palestinians do is an act of terrorism. But what Israel can go and kill people, demolish their homes, daily humiliate them, all in violations of the Fourth Geneva Convention, this isn't terrorism. This is self-defense, as you may read an article today in the Global Mail talk about Israel has a right to self-defense. You have a right to self-defense if somebody invades your territory and occupies it, not when you are the occupier. The United Nations Charter and the United Nations resolutions entitle everybody under foreign occupation to the right to self-defense. And the Palestinian people are under foreign occupation for 36 years. It is their legitimate right to resist this foreign occupation. And yet, when they do this, it is called terrorism.
Now, Professor Zayed, you have mentioned many times the UN Charter, UN resolutions, various agreements that have come up between Palestine and Israel over the years, much of that influenced by the world community in terms of the Oslo Agreement, and now we see the roadmap being put up by other leaders as the process to follow. But in terms of your own personal experience being a Palestinian refugee that has found a home here in Canada, I wonder if you can speak about your work around Canada Park and tell us what your hopes, what sort of faith do you have that justice will come through, considering your own experience with Canada Park?
Well, my own experience is unfortunately very painful. And in 1967, in June 1967, in the June War of 1967, the State of Israel marched in and occupied, apart after attacking Sinai, then marched in and occupied the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And in the West